sick money reeled in. And he said, I can't compete with this. So we carried on fishing anyway. And then the boatman said, do you want to go back and do that drift again? And I said, what do you think? So back round we went, and I got my third fish. And then it was time to come back in. But it was funny because you're coming in and you see all these guys coming past that I would deem as, you know, really good anglers. And they're saying, no fish, no fish. And I'm thinking, oh, I've got three. You know, I'm in the prizes here. And I can believe it to win it.
Hello and welcome to the Ireland on the Fly podcast about the people and places of fly fishing in Ireland. This week we're joined by Julie Gehry, former winner of the World Cup en masque, captain of the Irish ladies fly fishing team and now also youth officer with the Irish Trout Fly Fishers Association. Julie tells us how, despite the success of Irish fly fishing teams, it is still a struggle to get more youths and women into the sport and how maybe we should be looking to copy the successful program in Northern Ireland based on the Foyle River Catchment Outdoor Group, or Frog CIC as it's known. But first, Tom, the rain has been incessant, putting many anglers off. How has carp been fishing?
Yeah, incessant is a good word. And just like, you could also say just goddamn awful.
Sorry, it's shit.
Yep, that's the word. That's the word. I couldn't find it, you know. Oh, it's been atrocious, the weather. Like, I've been out boating a fair bit. And funny, if you get anyway good conditions, Dara, you get good fishing, particularly on carp. Even to wets early on before the duck fly was up. We had a cracking day. There was three boats of us out, lads down from Trim. And the second day they were out with cracking wet fly fishing, just fishing traditionals. Mm. Really good stuff. And then the duck fly started to hatch around paddies and looking great and popping up, seeing gulls moving, fish taken. And if you get the conditions, yeah, you'll nail them. You'll be out some days and the duck fly are trying to hatch, right? And the next thing, this just spell comes and they go, ah, Jesus Christ, lads, forget it. Forget it. Like, put it on hold. We're not coming out. And they stop. But you get any bit of nature at all and, you know, they will come up and fish are moving.
I don't know, is it the same for you? But down here in Tip, like, it's like the sun comes out briefly and then the showers come back. So it's almost like as if you've got half an hour.
And that's it. And that's the way the fishing goes. The fishing goes that way because particularly with duck fly, the duck fly respond. Right now, they will keep hatching through very cold weather, but if it lasts, they'll just stop. You know, it's almost as if they'll start and the hatch will go. But we'll get through this. But if the weather continually stays cold, that's it. They just stop. But then you get a break, like you say, sun comes out, and it only takes the slightest rise in temperature. You might see it on the gauge, but you feel it.
You feel it,
and the next thing they start popping up like soldiers, and then they go moving. But it's been tough. It's been tough. I've only had one day's fishing. I was out in a competition from the commercial on Sunday, and it was really tough, really tough.
Well, I think next week, I know down here they're saying next week is supposed to be mild and dry. So hopefully this is the last bit of it, because I know it's been snowing here.
Yeah, I mean, you were saying that you've had snow this morning.
Yeah.
I mean, like I was meant to be out today, and we're doing this during the day because I had to cancel. I've had to cancel. I think at this stage of the season, I've already cancelled 4 days due to bad weather. But, you know, it's part of it. But, today was the same. No, it is still cold up here, but it's not as cold as it is with you.
But look, let's hopefully it's April next week.
Yeah. What is it? Come in like a lion and out like a lamb?
Yes, exactly. Yes.
Yeah, we'll see.
Hopefully, fingers crossed. And we'll have better news next week for the fishing. But look, let's get back to this week's episode anyway. And Julie Gehry. And I first asked Julie about her work as the ITFFA's youth officer.
My late husband, Kevin, he did several years with youth rugby. He always felt that the youths, you know, people should put a lot of work into the youths. And when I was asked, was I interested in doing the youths, I just thought, well, yeah, because Kevin would have wanted me to do it. So that's why I really took it on. It's a full-on role. It is very busy. But I look at my role as the manager as my job is to get them there and to keep them safe and to do all the international, you know, technical stuff while we're there. I attend the meetings, you know, the international meetings. And the coaches do the coaching. So, you know, we've been busy at the moment. Myself, Jenny Casey's helping me out. Without her, It's because it is a full-on job. So we've been busy with fundraising. We're getting the kids their uniforms. You know, it's all the little nitty-gritty stuff, the transport. It's a full-on role, really, to get them there.
It's kind of the
So,
organizational side of it, really, is it?
yeah. There's a lot more to it because of the safeguarding rules with the young people. You know, you've got to have the special safeguarding rules, and you know, we have to organise all the Garda vetting, and you know, for myself, Jenny, the coaches, that all has to be in place. So, you know, because at the end of the day, they are youngsters and they have to be safeguarded.
Yeah, very true. Agree with you totally on that, Julie. I mean, they have to be, and you have to do everything right. Garda vetting, and I know it myself, it involves youth. I wish just to say this, that there was a better structure in place, because for every youth group you go into, you need another vetting. And
Absolutely.
getting,
Yeah.
yeah, getting it is a nightmare because it takes ages. You know, there should be, I really think the powers that be will put in a much better structure to make it
Yeah.
easier. You
Yeah.
know?
One form, one Garda vetting.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm going to cover one CASOC, DOSOC, because it's the same form for every association you do. Every group
It is.
is what the
Yeah.
same form.
Yeah. It's not that we're saying, oh God, we shouldn't do that. No, we need it. But
100%
it's
not,
just,
yeah.
yeah, just make the organization of it better.
So it's, are you very much focused on, Judy, it's the international teams, if you know what I mean, as opposed to youth development, shall we say?
We try and do both, but at the moment, because I mean everything is so busy, we, you know, when I go to the shows, we're doing the Strabane show the beginning of April, and if we see young people walking around with their dad or their parents, we tend to ask them, you know, are you fishing? Do you do any fishing? Would you like to start fishing? And what we do is we try and link them up with the local club, local, you know, with the fishing club local to them. And then, like, this is my first year in the role, and I did say that I would like to do more youth development and have youth days. And that is something that I'm hoping to get into. So, yeah, it's because that's without the kids, we've got nothing coming forward, you know.
Do we have any ideas of numbers of youths involved in fly fishing?
Off the top of my head, I couldn't tell you. There's a group in the North Frog CIC, I don't know if you know of them. They are
Frogs,
brilliant. They go
yeah.
into all the schools. You've heard of them.
Do you
Yeah, they
remember,
go into.
Darren, do you remember when we did the rundown? We did the report on the team that was over that won the three in a row. Remember, there was a couple of
Yes.
guys, the Frogs. Yeah,
Okay.
there's a.
So
Yeah.
what is that? What is that protocol? You said it goes around the schools.
They go into schools and they talk about the angling, and when they get the young people, they work really hard and they bring them on, and they have the youth they bring on are brilliant. They're really, really talented, really good. They've got a couple of young fly tyers. They do a lot of fly tying, but they're into the whole thing, the entomology, the whole system of it. And they put so much work in. They run winter leagues throughout the winter for them. And you know, the anglers there, they're just class, and their fly tying is unreal.
Tom, we could do with something like that, couldn't we? Like in the schools down here, like.
Yeah,
Yeah.
really could. I mean, they really should take a leaf from Frog's notebook, and should be pushed
Yeah.
all over the country. Really should be
I
done.
because I have two things on that. One is a bugbear I have is I think a lot of fishing clubs, they don't cater enough to the youths, or they don't look to the youths enough to try to get them involved. You know, if a kid, you know, if a youth happens to be involved, it's probably through a parent or a relative or something, and it's by the by that they became involved, as opposed to proactively going out saying, we're holding a youth's day, we're holding an open day. Like, here's right, we're in the middle of the Easter holidays here. We've started the Easter kids' Easter holidays, 2 weeks' Easter holidays. The kids are going to there's taekwondo camps, there's GA camps, there's soccer camps, and it's the same with the summer. And I look at it going, isn't there like 2 day or a 1 day, you know, fishing day, you know what I mean? And it doesn't have to be fly fishing per se. It could just be, you know, introduction to the water, introduction to fishing, whatever. I just think there's such untapped potential there, and we're not seeing kind of proactive measures to do anything about it.
We used to do it when I worked in Maynooth Fishery. It's gone now as a trout fishery, but we used to do summer camps, and it
Did you,
was,
Julie? Yeah.
yeah, it was crazy
Whoa,
busy,
yeah.
crazy busy. I think, you know, sometimes the mums didn't have anyone else to look after the kids, and they used to, you know, drop them down. But like we were happy to take them. But that was all before the Garda vetting came in and the child protection. And I think that a lot of it is what's stopping clubs at the moment, because you have to have a designated youth officer in your club.
I think it's an easy cop out, personally, because I look at like there's STEM clubs, there's Lego clubs, there's like, you know, coding clubs, like even and like camps now are every parent does them. Like, because it's just the thing, because that's the way it is. Kids don't go out and just play anymore. It's all organized play. And again, we've spoken about this on the podcast before. It's all organized. When the holidays come, the parents are just mad booking every single week where they can, yeah. kind of, because that's yeah. the childcare for those weeks.
Yeah.
And like, it's, I just look at it and go, like, where is it? Like, and I don't even see it. Like, I look at it from the point of view of, you've coding or you've technology or you've STEM or you've sport, that fishing should just be like a kind of an entrance into nature. You know what I mean? In terms of just yeah. introducing them to the river and the waterside and all that kind of stuff. And look, I hear what you're saying, Julie, in terms of, look, I know there's hurdles to it. And I'm sure insurance probably is another massive issue, bringing kids near water and all that kind of stuff. It must yeah. be difficult. But
I'd
yeah, I
just, so, yeah.
I just, I'd love to, I even love to see, like, you know, I see it in the schools, the primary schools, my kids in primary school. You know, there's a river near them. I'd love for them to be brought yeah. down to the river. It's yeah. a tiny little river. And, you know, with this little trout in it, just, like the kids pass by this river, you know, four times a day, back and forth, twice a day. And how many of them actually are aware of what's in that river, how important the river is, yeah. you know, and it's just that kind of aware. I think we're just missing this awareness kind of link. Like they do a program on Food Dudes about healthy eating. You know, why are they doing something on the healthy environment? Okay, I know they do the environment, but what's actually in their locality? That's what I'd love to see. Sorry, rant over.
No, I think that's what the frogs do. That's the sort of thing the frogs do, you know. They yeah. do that. And, you know, I did briefly talk to the guys last year about doing what they do down here. And, you know, there was talk, and we did mean to proceed with it further. And maybe like, I'll be seeing them in a couple of weeks, so maybe that's something we can touch on again to see what we can do. But, you know, time is a big hurdle as well. You know, it's everybody works, or most people have to work. And, you know, I'm giving up so many weeks as it is to fishing. And I'd be happy to do it. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying I wouldn't do it, but I'm just thinking, how can I fit in to yeah. do it in summer camp or, you know?
Yeah, no.
Well, I think that's a lot of the problem down here. People just haven't got the time.
You're right, Julia. A lot of people, a lot of clubs, you're relying on voluntary time.
I'm going to take the GA model, right? It's like, so in my locality, it's a very small GA club, but it's the diehards that run it, right? And yeah. especially in hurling terms, like they're absolute diehards when it comes to hurling. You know, it's a religion. And yeah. it's those one or two, and I'm sure it's in every club, it's those one or two that drive the club, who put in so many, it's like a job nearly, like, you know, in terms yeah. of they are always on the pitches, they're always doing this. And it takes those one or two to drive it on. But then you get to maybe the bigger clubs, say in Dublin, where they have the resources so they can have funding in place. They have coaches that come in and do all this kind of stuff. And I totally agree with you. It's, yeah, it like, you know, I see the parents that are involved, like I help out. I'm not stupid enough to put my hand up and go, yeah, I'll be the main man, because I know what it yeah. takes and what it's yeah. involved. I'll go, yeah, I'm here to help, but, you know, I'll let you run the show. Like, but yeah. it's time is another issue. And I know it's, how can we need those kind of diehard people yeah. to go, I don't care what it takes, I'm going to do it, you know?
Yeah.
So look, hopefully, look, we'll see how things develop. Yeah, try and find a few more diehards.
Look at it there, what you're saying there, Judy. There seems to be a bit of a template there with the frogs.
Mm.
Do you know? There yeah. seems to be, you know, I mean, maybe they've, this is the route we should follow, and look at what they're doing, you know?
Yeah.
If there was funding there.
They get funding, don't they? Or do they?
I believe they do. Don't quote me on it. I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah, fair enough.
They'd have to, wouldn't they? Yeah, especially if they're going into schools. Well, Julia, we're going to follow up with you every 6 months to see how you're doing.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah.
Well, you're not busy.
But you mentioned there, actually, Julie, in terms of, you know, you're giving up fishing weeks. And that was one of the questions I was going to ask you, like, how much, when you're, you know, your role as the youth officer, it does take away, you know, it's one of the questions I always say to fly tires, you know, you get, you're doing this so much, do you lose out the fishing? And is it the same for you, obviously?
Well, yeah, because, you know, we're going to Strabane for the, I think it's the 5th and 6th of April. There's a show there. We're doing the Adair Spring Show in May. And then I'm away with them for the week. And then we've got, of course, we've got the Youth Qualifier on the 13th of April. And then we have another one later on in September. That gets the team to qualify for the team for next year. So, we, you know, you have to work. It's constant. It's flat out. It's you know, it's a full-on role. But don't get me wrong, I love doing it. The kids are great. The parents are brilliant. The guys nicknamed them all the Smothers last year. And it stuck. And I mean, they loved it too. And but they are really the Smothers. Yeah, they're a really good bunch of people. And you know, so it makes it a lot easier. And if you ask for something, if you need information from them, you get it. Mm-hmm. You know,
that's brilliant. Yeah. That's really good, Julie.
Yeah. And you know, full credit has to go to Dennis as well. Dennis Goulding for coaching them. He's, you know, he's brilliant with them. He really is now, I have to say. But it does take up a lot of time. And, you know, I'm fortunate that I work only 3 days a week, because I think if I worked full time with everything else I'm doing, I just wouldn't have the time to do it all.
Is it a year long role, or how does it work?
I think until somebody else wants to do it, or until I say that now, I don't know.
So you're going to be there for a long time, Jim. Yeah. You've really sold it.
You're selling really well there.
No, they are good. They're really good. And having a nice bunch of lads, there's no hassle on the team. And, you know, they do as they're told. And or, you know, they do as they're asked. I wouldn't say they do as they're told. They do as they're asked. And they're really good. It makes it so much easier. And they're a bit of crack as well. You know, they're young people. You have a bit of crack with them. So, yeah, it's good. And I go out on the boats. You know, I boat them. Last year, I went to Wales with them. And I, you know, I took them out on practice days. And crack was good, yeah. I enjoyed it now, I have to say.
I'll touch on your fly fishing in a second. I just want to ask you, you know, like in terms of the youths, we spoke to Alva and
Rebecca.
And it was brilliant to see them, you know, the coming through, and, you know, hopefully acting as role models as well. Are you seeing, you know, it opening more? It's not as male dominated at the underage level, at the youth level.
We did have two girls that one qualified, one was the first reserve this year. But unfortunately, the week clashed with other things they had on. And I know one of the other things they had on was booked and paid for. So unfortunately, they couldn't. And I was looking forward to having a couple of girls on the team, you know, because it is a male, you know, dominated sport. At the end of the day, it is. And so to see a couple more girls come on, was really nice. Hopefully they'll fish the qualifiers this year and make it next year. But there aren't many girls coming through at all. So hopefully we might get a few youngsters come through with the next qualifiers.
Have the barriers broken down, though, do you think, even for kind of adults, for women to get involved?
I think so. I think, you know, wherever you go now, there's always one or two women at the competitions or more. Mm. And, you know, we seem to be, you know, making our presence known a bit more now, which is really important. So I think we're getting out there. You know, how do you encourage the girls to do it? You know, social media and all the, you know, the phones and the computers, you know, I know everybody goes on about it, but if we can get them to put them down and just see what we do, you know, I think things would be a lot different, hopefully.
Do you see it, Tom? Breaking down, like,
yeah, I would say, I think you touched on it there. I'd see now in competitions, you would see, wouldn't say a huge amount more, but you've seen a gradual increase in the number of women, but you really want to see a lot more, because you're right, Judy, it is male dominated, for you want of a better phrase. But yeah, you would see one or two more creeping, you know, coming into competitions. I think the work that you've done through the ladies fly fishing team has been fantastic.
Mm.
Yeah.
I think that helps, and that does get more girls, more women in. But yeah, funny, no, it has to be worked on. It really does. But it's what you say. But it's a battle. It's not just phones. It's with a lot of other things,
Yeah,
Julie.
it
You
is.
know.
And everybody's so busy. Parents, both parents, and now most of them are having to work full time. You know, with the cost of living crisis, they have to work full time. They can't, and then at the weekend, I know it's a bit cliche, but they want to see their kids. If they've got children, they want to see them and spend a bit of time with them, especially if they've been at work all week. And then they have the weekend activities. And, you know, for a mum to give up a day or so to go fishing isn't easy. And I know it sounds a little bit, you know, or the dad can do it, which he could. But it's still difficult when, I mean, I know I had, you know, my kids, I had kids, and when they were young, it was difficult going away for another day. If you've been at work all week and then
Yeah.
you leave them for another day, you know, I understand that if they've got young children.
But it's interesting because I remember a time, it's very that you bring that up, Julia. I remember a time when, and this is how social norms have changed in Ireland. I remember a time when it was okay for the father of the young kids to go off for a day fishing
Oh,
while the mother stayed at home. But that's not prevalent now. You know,
No.
the family structure has changed and it's not all right for the dad to go away every
Uh-oh.
weekend and to every weekend there, every weekend.
Every
But you know,
weekend.
yeah, you know, and I think that's would be why. I mean, people say, you know, there's an aging demographic in angling. And one of the reasons for that would be that if anybody has young children up until the age of, you know, 20, it's harder for them to get away for weekends and things, you know.
It is. That happened when I started fishing. I used to leave Kevin at home with the boys, and I used to go off fishing.
Good woman,
He
Julie.
said
Perfect. Yeah.
he used to tell people, he used to say to them, "Don't ever teach your wife how to fish," he said, because she'd be like
Fair
the
play to you. That's brilliant. Yeah.
Well, in fairness, because I want to bring my boys and my girl out. I'm waiting for the conditions to get improved, but it's not a case. I won't be bringing them for the day. It'll be bringing them for an hour or two, and you know. And I'm lucky enough that the river's nearby anyway. So it's, but it's funny when I say to them, they're like, oh, yeah, can I come? Can I come? You know, it's the excitement of just doing it is just, it's a day
Getting
out,
out
you
there.
know, or yeah, just being out. It's an adventure. Like,
Yeah,
yeah.
absolutely.
And as you said as well, they're bringing all of them, not just the girls, you know, or not just the lads, bringing the daughter as well.
Can I ask you, do you find with most of the youths and maybe the girls especially, are they introduced, are they involved in fly fishing because of a family member, like a dad or whoever has brought them? Is that how most of them got involved?
Possibly, yeah. I'd say it is, because I think both the parents are both the girls, or you know, one of the dads are both the girls' fish. So yeah, it is. I'd say it is.
So it comes back to that kind of, isn't it? It's still that kind of.
If you don't, if you haven't got a parent that fishes, you probably wouldn't think about going. No, you know, the youngsters probably wouldn't, unless they had a friend that went. You know, it's just one of those. I suppose fishing's one of. It's not like football. Everybody wants to. All the kids want to play football and be the next big football star. But with fishing, it's just, unless you know somebody that's big into it, I suppose it wouldn't even enter your head. Or if it did, they'd think it was boring.
I was reading John Bailey and Paul Whitehouse over the weekend. Their book How We Fish, but it was interesting listening to them or listen reading them. They were talking about growing up, and that kind of back. God, it sounded like old farce now, but back in the day when there was a river or a lake or a pond nearby, and they said as kids they thought no, that was what they did. You know, there might have been 10 fellas, and they'd get on their bikes and they'd go down to the local water and they'd be there with worms and whatever else, like, you know, and it's just something you don't see happen now at all, you know, so they don't have that introduction to
No.
water or fishing, like.
No, not at all. That's all gone. Everything is organized now. We were saying that earlier on. Everything is organized.
Kevin hadn't fished, I'd never have got into
I
it.
was just going to ask you, was it Kevin that got you into fishing? Yeah, you had no background of fishing, a family member or
None
anything, did you?
whatsoever. It wasn't until I actually started fishing that I learned that my eldest brother used to do a bit. But
Right.
other than that, I didn't. I wouldn't. Never have thought about going.
So what was it? You kind of said, "Ah, oh, here, feck it. You can't be going off having the fun all the time. I'm coming
well,
with you." Or
I'll tell you very quickly how it started. Kevin was Scottish, and his mum and dad they lived in England for a while, and then they moved back to Scotland, and they lived in the back end of nowhere. And we used to travel up with the boys overnight. Kevin used to, we'd go up in his van, and we used to travel up overnight because the traffic was less. And his dad would be waiting for him when we got there with his car packed with the fishing gear. And Kevin would get out of the car, hug his mum, get out of the van, sorry, hug his mum, get in the car, and him and his dad would go off fishing to this little fishery. And me and his mum would, you know, that's okay. And then after a day of this, we'd make a little picnic, and we'd say, we'll go up and we'll have a picnic. And Kevin, you know, and I think it was very typical, you keep fishing because it's, you know, you don't want to stop because you might miss a fish. So I used to go up and he'd let me bring flies in. He'd cast them out and I'd bring the flies in. And then it progressed that during the day, we'd go off on day trips with the boys, with the kids. And then of an evening time, his sister would babysit and we'd go for the evening rise to the fishery. And by the end of the 2 weeks, yeah, this is true. By the end of the 2 weeks, I wasn't permitted a beginner's ticket because I was deemed good enough to have, but it was about 18 months before I could physically touch a fish. I used to carry marigold gloves with me. I couldn't bear the slime. Now your fingers are down there throwing and all sorts. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's how I got into it. Yeah.
You actually brought marigold gloves with you.
I used to carry marigold gloves with me.
I have to say,
near me that could unhook the fish, I'd say, "Would you help me?" But yeah, I used to carry rubber. I couldn't bear it. Couldn't bear the slime. And, oh.
That is a first. I have never in my life heard of
I'm
anyone
almost embarrassed to say it, but that's
fishing.
The truth. Yeah, yeah.
You don't have any pictures, do you, by any chance?
No, I'm afraid not. No.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking social media would be brilliant.
Yeah. Oh, wouldn't it? Well, yeah.
It's good to know that you've really got over that anyway, Julie.
I did, yeah. Ways what you can do when you have to, yeah.
Yeah.
That's how I got into fishing, yeah. And it wasn't, when we moved to Ireland, we found Rathbegan Lakes, and that became our second home. We were there all the time, and that's how it progressed, because the lads there, I met a lot of the Kells lads, you know, McLaughlin's and the boys from there, and they used to say, "Why don't you come and fish the World Cup?" I'd be like, "Yeah, I'm really good now." And I did, and I loved it, and it just went on from there. Yeah, that's how I got into it. Bless
did
you.
Your kids then pick it up then, the love of it?
They did, and they were very good, but they did it because they used to come with us. But if, you know, if we used to, you know, quite often get a babysitter, so they didn't have to come out when we went all the time. And some of the time they'd want to come, some of the time they wouldn't. But they don't do it now. But I'm hoping it's one of those things that they might go back to when they're a bit older, you know. So hopefully now. I took one out in the boat there, about 3 years ago, just after we lost Kevin. And I think he just, you know, And he actually caught a fish. I took him out on Loch Lean and he caught a fish. So, you know.
What did Kevin make of it when you got into the fishing?
Oh, he loved it. Oh, he did now. Yeah, he did. I have to say now, he loved it. Yeah. He was always my biggest supporter. He was brilliant. Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, I don't. For me, fishing is, it's a nice way to, you know, step away from the home.
Tara. But those who know, we can't edit this.
Don't go down there.
Don't.
I'm going to have a quick straw poll of listeners. Am I right? Yes or no? And you can remain anonymous with your vote. I'll take the heat for the men. So, Julie, tell us then, in terms of when you moved to Ireland, where's your favourite fishing? What was your favourite type of fishing? Any highlights from fishing in Ireland?
Loch Mask has to be the jewel in the crown anywhere, and I mean, I loved it, really loved it, and I still do love Loch Mask. It, you asked me if I wanted to go to a wild lake, Loch Mask would be my go-to. It's always been very special to me. I won the World Cup there in 2004, 20 years ago.
20 years.
I know. And
take us back. Wow. Take us back to that, Julie. Take us back to that.
Oh my God!
So, how long had you been fishing at that stage? You know, in terms of.
Well, we moved to Ireland in '98, and I really picked it up probably from then. So I hadn't been at it that long, and I was still quite green. But I just used to wing it. You know, I just used to go out and chuck a few flies, and the boatman would look in the box and tell me to put this on and that on, and I'd do it. But you know, and we went out. I booked, fished the World Cup this year, and on the qualifying, just before the qualifying day, day or two before, the youths were fishing Loch Conn for their international. So Kevin and I went down on the Wednesday or Thursday to see them out. And I was talking to a Scottish fella. He was their fly tyer, and he gave me a fly. And he said to me, "Put that on," he says, "and you'll do well on it." So I put it in the box, and I did. And then come the qualifier, my boatman, I can't remember his name now. He'll probably kill me if I next time I see him. But he said to me, "Put that on the top dropper." So we were fishing away. We were over on the far side of near College Bay in that, and I caught a fish. And then I had another fish on a silver dabbler, and it was a decent enough bag. It got me well into the in, you know, up the table. So I knew I had a good bag. But on the final day, Martin Connors was my boat partner, and we got in the boat, and I said to him, "Martin, you do know you're bringing in the winner today, don't you?" And he said, "Well, you know, it wouldn't surprise me." He'd been out with guys that had qualified and gone on and won it and blah, blah, blah. So I said to him that there was fish moving on the far shore if he wanted to go over, because I know he likes the dries, and he didn't care where we went. So I said it to our boatman, and halfway across the lake, the boatman stopped. He stops the boat, and I'm looking at him, and it was flat calm. I mean, it was awful. The sun was splitting the stones. I looked at him, and he said, "There's no point going over there, Julie, yet." He says, "You'll kill it." He said, "There's wind coming at lunchtime. As soon as the wind comes, we'll go." And I sat in the boat in the middle of the lake like a spoilt child because I didn't want to be there. So anyway, true to his word, the wind did come, and we went over, and we had a cup of tea, and my partner put on dries and I put on wets. And I thought, I've made a mistake. And I said, "Look, I can always change." And then we were fishing away, and I had this green stimmy on. It was a green stimulator. And the only reason I kept it on was because I didn't know what else to put on. I just couldn't think of anything else that these fish would want. And we went over this set of shallows, and I can't remember what the area is called. It's just up from College Bay. I think they call, is it the birdcage or something, or the pump house or
The pump
something?
house, the cage outside the
Yeah.
pump house. Yep.
Yeah,
Yep.
there was
Yeah,
a
yeah.
pin on it.
Yeah.
And we drifted over these shallows, and I got my first fish. Now it was gone. It was nearly 3:30 when I got my first one. And I was thinking before that, well, you know, you had a decent bag, you might get the ladies' prize out of it. And then I got this fish, and I thought, that's great. So I chucked the flies back out, and I got another one. And I'd given Martin the fly, the same, another similar one when I got the first fish. After I got the second one, he reeled in and he said, "I can't compete with this." So we carried on fishing anyway. And then the boatman said, "Do you want to go back and do that drift again?" And I said, "What do you think?" So back round we went, and I got my third fish. And then it was time to come back in. And that's how that happened, you know. But it was funny because you're coming in and you see all these guys coming past that I would deem as, you know, really good anglers, and they're saying, "No fish, no fish." And I'm thinking, "I've got three. You know, I'm in the prizes here." And I couldn't believe it to win it.
I remember being on the shoreline and hearing, "Jerry has three. She has three."
You know, when I took the fish up, I was one of the first to hang the fish up. And when I come back, Kevin said to me, "Whose fish did you just hang up?" I said, "Well, they were mine." He says, "You're serious? This is the wrong fish." Yeah, he couldn't believe it either.
Were you the first female winner?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And the only ones to
The
date.
only one
Yeah,
to
only
date.
one to
The
date.
only one to
The one
date.
to date. Wow.
It's been
That
going
makes
since
a difference. Yeah.
1952, so
Yeah.
that's some achievement.
That was fantastic. It really, really was. It was brilliant.
Phenomenal year I had that year, because I won a second boat just after it, because they had the development competition later,
Right. You're
and
right.
I won that one as well.
Yeah.
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 So how much were you fishing at that stage, Judy, like in terms of?
Oh God, if I wasn't working, I was fishing. I every weekend without fail, I would be somewhere. Every weekend, at least one day of the weekend, I'd be somewhere. Yeah,
Mainly
and
Mask,
that
actually.
was,
Mainly Loch
yeah.
Mask, actually.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. But yeah, it was yeah, we were always fishing somewhere. Even in the winter, there'd be winter leagues on, and on, you know, there was Court Lock and all over the place. I would be somewhere.
So was it always lakes or still waters you were always attracted to in terms of the fishing?
Yeah. I prefer the lakes, but I used to do the still waters as well.
Then you ran, you had Maynooth Fisheries for a while, for
I was
anybody who
in Maynooth
remembers.
Fisheries. I worked there for a little while. Yeah, that was nice. I liked it there, but it's a tough gig for a fishery. It's not an easy
It
thing to
is.
do because everybody's a fishery manager. Everybody comes through the gates. Want this, they want that, and they want everything else. And it was difficult, but I met some really lovely people, really lovely people. Now I have to say, friends for life, some of them. Yeah.
But there's only a handful now of the fisheries
It's
around, isn't there?
all the ones around Dublin are gone, aren't they? All the ones in the greater Dublin area, like Rathbegan is gone. I think Rathcon is gone, and your Maynooth is gone.
And Cortlock, that was always good.
Cortlock as well,
So yeah, it shows you, I suppose,
Yeah, sign
demand
the
is
times,
waning.
yeah.
Yeah, that's it exactly, Jenny. So I suppose in terms of like, so for the season coming, like, is it a case of your role is taken over and whatever fishing you just happen to be able to fit in?
Pretty much. I still fish the competitions, but I don't fish every single weekend. My lifestyle's changed as well. My personal circumstances have changed as well a little bit, so I'm a bit limited to what I can do. So with the house and stuff. So, but no, I can do most of the big competitions that I always did. So, and I'm thankful for that. And in a couple of years' time, I won't have the commitments at the house, and I'll just be able to get my little trusty old camper van and go off wherever I want then, So,
And what
yeah.
actually was it about the competition scene that attracted you? Was it the kind of camaraderie, the coming together
Yeah,
of
it was. I
anglers?
don't take them too seriously either. I don't get overexcited about them. But I like the crack of it, the fact, the talking on the shore and meeting people that you won't see from one year to the next unless you're at the same competition.
And I'm always saying this, and I know people, sometimes people can run competitions down, but there is a huge social aspect to it.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Oh, very much so. Very much so socially. Yeah. And, you look forward to seeing these
You
people,
do. Yeah, you really do.
because
And as you
oh,
say,
so and so is going to be there. I haven't seen them in a while.
it's interesting. Like, I think a lot of people are intimidated by the idea of, putting themselves forward for competition or taking part in a competition. But I love how you describe even winning the World Cup, where you're like, you were very open to go, well, I only just had the green stimulator because I didn't know what else to go for. You were very kind of very self-deprecating, like.
Well, yeah, it was true. I was thinking, what else can I try? And I just didn't know what else to put on. That's why it stayed on. And it caught me a fish the day before, which was, another. But but like I said, I don't take anything too seriously. If I don't do very well, I'm not. I used to be very disappointed. So long as I did my best, so I always try and do my best. And everybody has good days and everybody has bad days. And with the bad days, you try and think. I always think to myself, what could I have done better? Or if I could do that day again, what would I have done differently? And I think that's how I do my fishing. I try and learn something from it. And I think that's another thing with the competition fishing. It brings you on as an angler as well, because you always learn something from, because you fish with so many different people and everybody has a different way of doing things. And eventually you'll find your way, and you learn something every time from the people, and it does really improve your angling, I think, anyway.
It's like anything. If you It's like being involved in a group thing. Like, a classic example, right? I use, like, what you're saying there is, years ago, I used to play the guitar badly, right? But remember once living in a house where there was another guy who played the guitar, and I used to play with him. And I learned so many things off him just by sitting down beside him. And I used to watch him. Like, he was way better than me, way better than me. And I used to watch what he was doing. And I learned from that. And it's true. You take that scenario and put it into fishing. And like anybody starting off, if you go into a competition and you're with somebody like who's, should we say, an accomplished fisherman, and you can watch them and say, God, look at the way they're doing that. They're doing it that bit different. And yeah, you do. You learn from it.
Yeah, it's true. It's very true. I heard a great phrase over the weekend. If you're not winning, you're learning.
Yeah,
Yeah.
absolutely. That's it,
Very
exactly.
good. Yeah.
Well, I told my kids that, so they were like, "All right,
Okay.
shut up."
Thanks, Dad.
Julie, tell us a bit about the Irish ladies, the fly fishing team, and how they're getting on, and the kind of success and involvement in it.
We had our first trial for next year's team yesterday. That was on a very cold Loch Leen.
Ooh.
It got cold in the afternoon. But that's a very special little place as well. I think it's just fabulous there.
It's a
And
gem.
being just up the road from me is just a bonus. But no, that's going okay. We're off to Llanbrennig in the end of May. I'm the captain, and they asked me would I coach them this year as well. So myself and the manager, Kev Dinning, we're going to coach the team between us. And I'm looking forward to that. I've not done any coaching,
Nice.
not as a coach. And I'm looking forward to that. They're a nice bunch of women, and we should do well. I'm hoping we'll do well. We've got a lot of people that know a lot of stuff, like Kevin knows a lot of people, and we can get advice and help off of them, and we're all sitting there busily doing our researching and sorry.
Brennig at the end of May.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
In Wales, yes. Yeah, I'm
Yeah,
looking forward to it. I haven't fished Brenig
that
in a
should be
long
good.
time there.
Yeah,
Yeah.
it's a lovely place. I love fishing it. I
Yeah.
just wonder, will there be top of the water action at that stage?
I suppose it depends on the weather.
Yeah, it
Right.
does, I suppose. Yeah,
You
yeah.
know, you can, you can. That's what we keep saying. You can only fish the conditions,
That's
and we
it.
won't know the conditions till we get there.
I'll tell you there. Yep.
But we're preparing for everything,
That's where the coaching comes in.
Yeah. No, we're going through the motions, and we're trying to teach them all sorts of different stuff. Even the dreaded bun, we're decking the line. Love it or hate it. It works.
Oh, it's so divisive.
Yes, but look, you do what you got to do. So the trial went well yesterday. We had a new lady. She came along. She came from one of the training days that they do with the
Oh, great.
ladies. Yeah, they do a few.
Brilliant.
There's one on the 6th of July for beginners, and they have other introductory days. And Loch Rowan are doing a ladies' weekend as well, actually.
Oh, are they great?
Yeah, so there's a lot of effort going on.
Yeah, Loch Roan, for anybody who's interested, listening, is up in County Leitrim.
Yes.
I have to say, actually, they're very proactive. You see them, on Instagram, like you said, running those days, really encouraging, trying to get people involved, and obviously working, they're getting people in.
We do. It's it. They do. The ladies that go to the training days, they love it. They really like it. And we get one or two from them. We had a new lady fish with us yesterday, and I think she came from the training days. If you get one from it, it's a
Yeah,
bonus.
it's a win.
So, absolutely. So, the more training days we do, we're hoping to get more women in. So. And I think as well, like as you said, we're very proactive, especially on social media. And if you can see a few women say, I'd like to give that a try. Because people assume it's fly fish and they go, how could you do that all day? Do you not get bored? I said, bored? No. My heart rate was spiking yesterday playing this freaking fish for 10 minutes. I said, no, I was far from
You land them?
bored. Oh, I did.
Oh, well
Great
done.
fish, brilliant fish.
And actually, Judy, do you find out of the women that come to the training days, what's the reason or interest in wanting to get involved?
I think they see it advertised, and they may know somebody that's done it, but they see it advertised, and they think, you know what, that sounds like something nice, something
Little
I'd like
different.
to do. Yeah, to be outside and. To meet other women and meet other people. And I just think that it's something completely different. And I think when they do it, they're surprised at how interesting and exciting it can be. And I think that's the thing people need to learn, that it is, everybody, you say it, the tug is the drug. And really, as soon as they feel that tug on that line, you can see them go, oh, you know, everybody does it. And, you know, that's brilliant. And I think if people, that misconception that fishing is boring, you sit there all day. And, you know, I think if we could overcome that and say to people, you know, come out and try it, at least try it. And then if you think it's boring, fine.
Yeah, very true.
Well, Julie, it's been brilliant chatting to you. In terms of, like, you've given so much to the sport over here, from the youths, the ladies, the World Cup, the competitions. I'm sure there's another committee we'll find you that you can get involved in. If you've any more spare hours there. But before we let you go, Julie, we ask everybody this. Could you tell us what was your most memorable fish on the fly? And I'm guessing, was it to do with mask in the World Cup?
Third fish.
It was to do with masks, but it wasn't the World Cup.
Oh, okay. Oh,
I actually have two memorable fish. One's a trout, the other's a pike.
Okay, well, we'll take both.
Yeah, I'll tell you about the trout. It was the second competition, the development competition. And it was a two-day competition. And I'd had a bumper day on the first day. I had six trout. And it was just brilliant. It was just one of those days you could do no wrong. And I was in the lead going into the second day, but there was a guy or somebody very close to me. And I knew I needed a fish on the second day to win the second boat. But I was thinking, well, I'd be happy with second place. I think second place was €1,000. And I was going on holiday with my friend. And I was thinking, €1,000 would be really handy. The boat would be great, you know. So I went out and it was, again, it was flat calm. And I can't remember where we were fishing, but there were rocks. And I put on this daddy long legs and it was a detached body one. And I remember it had a white detached body. It was one of the old fashioned ones. And to me, I looked at it, it just looked like a bit of thread and some legs. But I threw it out and we were chatting away and this fish just came from nowhere. It was the last thing I expected because of the conditions and everything else. And, you know, when you've had a day like you had the day before, you're not going to get two in a row. But this fish came and I remember I lifted him in and all I could say was, oh, God, I have it, or something like that. And it was actually one of the lock mask guys. He all he could do was laugh because of what I said. But that actually won me the second boat. And that fish always stays in my mind because of this tatty old fly that I didn't think any self-respecting fish, let alone a wild brown trout, was going to take. The fish was about 1.5 pounds. It was nothing massive, but it was just the whole, you know, the fact it was flat calm and I didn't really like the fly, but I put it on anyway. You know, because the conditions dictated I had to put something dry on. But yeah, that was great. I enjoyed that one. And that actually won me the second boat. But the other one was I was on Loch O'Flynn. And I went down with a friend of mine. We were practicing because the ladies were going to have a trial on it the following week. So we went down for a practice. And I remember casting out near these reeds. And this thing just came up and head and tailed over the fly. And natural instinct was to lift. And I lifted and it just went straight down. And I thought, that's not a trout. It was the biggest pike I've ever held. She must have been about 18 pounds. It was huge. But it just rolled over the fly like a trout. And it went into the reeds. And only for the fact that the guy on the boat, he knew what to do and he was rowing after it. And the thing just sat there and it was thump, 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 thump. You just knew it was a pike, you know. But when it come up, I went, I'm not touching that.
Did you have your marigold gloves?
You know what? All you need is Kevlar gloves. I said, if I have to get that fly out, I'm cutting it off because there was no way I was going near it, you know. It was massive. And I tell you, it took a pink snake. I knew you'd like that. First of all, I pissed the bung and now a snake. But yeah, that one was great. I mean, when it came up, I mean, it was a magnificent fish. You know, I actually really like fishing for pike, but that one, I didn't want it because I wanted trout. But no, I wasn't disappointed. It was huge. She was a gorgeous thing. Yeah. So yeah, that was my second most memorable fish.
Yeah, well, I'm sure you have plenty, Julie, to be looking back on and plenty more as well to be caught.
I hope so.
Well, listen, thanks a million for joining us tonight. It was Great chatting to you. Find out about the youths, ladies. Actually, just if people are looking for more information about the Irish ladies fly fishing, where can they get it?
Yeah, they can go to the website, irishladiesflyfishing.com, and the youths, they can find us there, or they can just send me a private message, Julie Gary on Facebook, or, you know, they can contact a local ITFFA club. They'll always send them to me. There's loads of ways you can contact, and I'll put them in place, you know, in touch with the right people. If there is any youngsters out there, we've got a little qualifier coming up on the 13th of April, sorry, from Loughlean in Collinstown. So, you know, if their clubs get in touch, we can sort them out. So it'd be brilliant to see them, especially if they've got some girls as well.
Absolutely. And actually, I'd recommend as well, people, even if you've got a kid, if you're not even interested, but if you think your kid might be interested, or if you're just have a curiosity, go down to something like the Irish Spring Fair down in the Dare Springs. Because they actually have a kids casting area there, and I believe it was a huge success last year. So
It was brilliant.
Again, it's a day out, bring the kids down and pick up whatever goodies down there, you know. So great way to do it. But Julie, thanks again for your time, and tight lines, and best of luck for the season to come.
Thanks very much. Thanks. Good talking to you.
Our thanks to Julie Gary for joining us on the show. Don't forget to rate, review, and follow the Ireland on the Fly podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Plus, you can keep up to date on IrelandOnTheFly.com as well as on Instagram. And myself and Tom will be back with another episode about the people and places of fly fishing in Ireland.